We're going to be looking at a few passages of Scripture from different parts of the Bible today, so it might be helpful for you to have a Bible if you don't have one. Quentin will place one in your hand. This is the last of our New Year fitness program at the end of February. So the rest of the year we can slob around, don't need to get fit. And we've looked at nutrition, feeding on the Word of God. We've looked at our diet in terms of prayer and fasting. Last week we looked at our exercise by walking in the Spirit. And this week we look at our lifestyle and the joy of giving. The pastor of a recently planted church was trying to whip up enthusiasm amongst his congregation for future growth in the church. And he was comparing the church and the growth of the church as to how a baby might grow and develop. And he said, the first thing we need to do as a church, people, first thing we need to do is learn to crawl. Well, it was the kind of church where the congregation said, learn to crawl, Lord, learn to crawl, let's learn to crawl. And the pastor said, and secondly, once we've learned to crawl, then we'll learn to walk. Let's learn to walk, Lord. Let's learn to walk, said the congregation enthusiastically. And then when we've learned to walk, said the pastor, we'll learn to run. Let it run, Lord. Let it run, said the congregation. And the pastor said, and for this we'll need money. And the congregation said, let it crawl, Lord. Let it crawl. I'm sure that's not true, by the way. But it brings us to the subject of giving. And suddenly there's an awkwardness in the room, I sense. But elephant in the room, perhaps. You're thinking, feeling, oh, here we go. Ian's going to have a go now. Make me feel more guilty about how much I give. Try and encourage me to give more. It's a private thing, I can hear you saying. You know, it's my hard-earned cash. What I do with my cash is my own business. What have you got to do with you? And as a result of me thinking you're thinking that, I'm thinking, well, I've no great desire to preach on this morning, especially, actually, to such a generous church as you are. See, get on the right side of you. And yet, as a teaching planning team, we felt it right, and for every couple of years, perhaps, to do this, I think we do as well, to have this series on a New Year fitness program, and to touch on the basics, really, of our Christian life. And so Bible and prayer and walking in the Spirit, but also today to touch on this whole thing of giving. Anyway, I've decided not going to preach on giving this morning. I'm going to bring you what God says about it. But make no mistake, God expects you to give. And I know we can make the arguments about giving time and giving talents and so on. And I know we might say the Old Testament didn't have money as such. You know, they gave of their produce and that kind of thing. And most of us don't grow our own produce. And so much of this is given over, therefore, to the giving of money, the stuff that we do have that we can give. So firstly, we're going to look at the divine perspective on all of this. And I'll take you to 1 Chronicles in chapter 29. It's the Old Testament. It's before 2 Chronicles, if that's any help. And Church Bibles, it's on page 434. The context is the end of David's reign, the end of his life, in fact. His ambition had been to build a temple to the glory of God. But the Lord had said to him, actually, David, because you've got blood on your hands, you know, because you've brought some dishonor to my name, you won't build this temple, but your son Solomon will build this temple. And David, I guess, reluctantly accepted that. But nevertheless, he set about raising the resources that were needed to build the temple. And actually, at the beginning of the chapter, which is on page 433 in our church Bibles, if you read that paragraph, you'll see that David gives quite generously, He calls the leaders of the families and therefore the people to give, and they give generously as well. And so verse 10, David praises the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." I think we've sang that this morning, haven't we? "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We're aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." Do you get it here? Yes, the people are generous, but it's only possible, their generosity is only possible because the Lord, who owns all things, to whom all things belong, has given it to them in the first place. So here's a divine perspective on this. See, our giving is not us doing God a favor by giving money to help him. Our giving is us giving back some of what he has entrusted to our care. You see, we're just stewards of his resources. The money, the resources we have, are on loan to us. All we have comes from him, and it's our job, therefore, to release it to ensure his work is done. You've probably heard of the pastor, different pastor to the last one, who the church was in need of refurbishment, and it was going to cost millions. And he said, as he stood before the congregation one morning, he said, "Folks, I've got good news, and I've got bad news." So the good news is that we've got all the money. The bad news is that it's in your pockets and wallets. Tony Campolo was invited to speak at a ladies' meeting in Philadelphia. And the chairperson of that meeting, before she handed over to, after they'd sung a few hymns and things, said, "Actually, I've got some news that I bring to you, to the congregation, that the missionary couple that we support overseas need $2,000 to fulfill one of the projects that they've set up. Now, Mr. Campolo, would you please pray that the Lord will provide?" And Mr. Campolo said, "No." He said, "People, do you believe that the Lord will provide?" And they all said, "Yes." He said, "Then let's empty our purses now." Now, in the narrative of the story, he paused a little bit here, because, and he did say, "Now, this was easy for me," he said. "I hadn't received my fee yet, and I only had $15 in my pocket," he said. "So I put it in the plate on the front, and I looked at the chairwoman of the meeting, and she went, took out her purse, and there were $40 in her purse, so she put that in, and they invited the other people up, and they raised $3,000 that day." You see, when the Lord calls people together in a church congregation, all the resources we need for the work that he wants to do through this church are available through you, through me as well. I'm not excluding myself from this. You know, recent history, we felt it was right, didn't we, to buy the house next door and put that before you as a church. $130,000, I think it cost, the house, if I've got my figures right. And we had one morning, I think, we had an appeal. What did we raise? 130,000. To refurbish this place, staggering £750,000. I think we got £75,000, 10% of that by way of grant. But the rest of it came from you. Staggering, isn't it? Just staggering. But it just reflects the point here that we're trying to make. We need to look at our money from a divine perspective. It's all His. He's given it to us. And when we give, we're just releasing it back. I haven't written this down, so I hope I remember this correctly. But somebody has said that the trick here is to remember that it's not your money. Now, it was somebody from the Inland Revenue who said that. But he was just actually echoing what Scripture says here. This divine perspective. We're just releasing back to the Lord what He has given to us. So, how much should we give? Or perhaps put it another way, how little can we get away with giving? So having heard the divine perspective, here's the divine directive. It doesn't all work like that all the way through the sermon, by the way, but I thought those two were quite impressive, really. So throughout Scripture, there's an encouragement to be generous, to give with a thankful heart, indeed with joy, the joy of giving. But you're still sitting there thinking, yes, Ian, but how much? How much do we need to give? Well, in the Old Testament, there are several places where it speaks of tithes. The word tithes speaks of a tenth, or 10% of your resources that God has given you. Phew, I hear you say, some of you, just 10%. Well, no. Because most of these passages speak of sacrifices and offerings and tithes and special gifts. So one example, and we'll turn to this, I think, is Deuteronomy chapter 12. It's on page 191. So God's imparting His guidelines to the people of Israel. And here He's speaking about worship and how to worship. So not worship like the people of the land who are already there. So verse 4, you must not worship the Lord your God in their way. And verse 5, but you're to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put His name there for His dwelling. To that place you must go, and there bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. So you see, there's this element, isn't there, of rejoicing. There's this element of recognizing that we're blessed of God, and therefore we bring these offerings, a thank offering, a sacrifice to God. And some of that sacrifice would have been eaten at that feast. So you know, part of what they were giving, they were able to enjoy, as it were. The tithe, if you read through the rest of the Scriptures, was given to the Levites. Now, the Levites were the tribe, one of the 12 tribes. The tribe weren't given any land like the other tribes were, because from their number came the priests. And their portion, their trust in the Lord, if you like, came from the tithes that the other tribes brought into the central funds. And the special gifts, in all likelihood, would have gone to the care of orphans and alien strangers and widows. So although this is sort of a guideline set, the emphasis is on generosity and thanksgiving. And in fact, as the Old Testament proceeds, one of the criticisms of the people of Israel is that they'd forgotten about paying tithes, or that they were not paying the full tithes, or that they were paying their tithes but doing so grudgingly, and actually not living out the rest of the law. just doing what they had to do. Well, you move into the New Testament, and the good news is there's no instruction to tithe in the New Testament. The bad news is actually more is expected. So again, just a few passages of scripture here. Turn to Luke's gospel and work through a few verses from there. So Luke chapter 11. Verse 42, in fact, so page 1044. In the setting, Jesus is being critical of the Pharisees who had gathered around him. And he has a pop at them, really. You know, you wash on the outside fastidiously, but you know, what are your hearts like on the inside? You seek the most important seats so that you can be seen by the public and preen yourself in front of them. And verse 42. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. So you see, his criticism isn't against their tithing. Criticism is against the heart and how they live out their life and the justice and the love that is needed. But in practice, their tithing was still expected. In Luke chapter 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Again, the Pharisee is preening himself, isn't he? And chapter 18 and verse 11, Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Again, you know, as the tax collector comes up and just lays himself before the Lord, having mercy on me, a sinner, the criticism here is not the fact that he does tithe, it's the attitude that he uses to tithe. It's not about how we give. Sorry, it is about how we give. Not what we give. A couple of chapters on, chapter 21 and verses 1 to 4. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. We probably don't get the extent of the enormity of this here. You know, I guess widows today, some of you here, in comparison to much of the world, are pretty well-to-do, really. In those days, she'd have had no income, really, apart from what she was given from the temple. And those who had money were giving ostentatiously into these big flute-shaped metal containers that were there in the temple courtyards. And she gave two mites, two small copper coins. She gave out of her poverty. The motives of the widow are not spelt out, but probably because of her love for God, she gave sacrificially far more than her one-tenth. And this sacrificial emphasis is continued by Paul in 2 Corinthians. He writes in chapter 8, firstly. So he writes this letter to them. The church in Jerusalem was in dire straits and in need of finance. And he's appealed to the churches for gifts. And as he writes to Corinth, he already has a gift from the Macedonian churches. That would be Philippi, Thessalonica, and a few others as well. So chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. And over the page, actually in the Church Bible, same page, chapter 9 and verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. His encouragement then, to be generous, even sacrificial in giving out of what the Lord has given us. So how much, you're asking? What is the divine directive? Well, the divine directive is to give joyfully, with thanksgiving, all you can give, according to the need. And it seems to me that a minimum should be the tithe of 10%. Or turn it round. This amazing God of ours is allowing us to keep 90%, a whopping 90% of all that he's given us. And just 10% to see his work done through the church and through other organisations, of course. So a mum was sending a little girl to Sunday school, and she said to her, "Darling, here's 2 1-pound coins. One is for God, for you to put in the collection, and one is for you to spend in the sweet shop on your way home." The little girl skipping along to Sunday school, clutching these 2 coins, and she tripped and fell, and the coins rolled away. One of them span and landed just by her, and the other one rolled agonizingly into the drain and was lost forever. And she said, you know what she said, don't you? "Oh Lord, I'm so sorry. I've just lost your pound." It's a cute story, but it addresses, doesn't it, the attitude that sometimes we have to giving. Do we give what we have left over after our own needs are fulfilled? Or do we give to God first and then enjoy the 90% that he provides for us? Do we give the best or do we give the rest? And this can be quite tough, can't it? Here the harsh realities of life kick in. We've all got bills to pay. We've got rent or mortgage to meet. We've got food to buy. We've got to live, haven't we? And most of us will say, "Actually, I've got no money left over at the end of the month or the end of the week or however often you get paid or receive your benefits or however it works for you." You know, it's really hard to start tithing. I don't know how I'll manage if I pay 10% or give 10% to the church or wherever the need is. Well, I think we need to grasp then, thirdly, the divine incentive. There are several verses in Scripture where God wants to encourage us in our giving. And again, we're going to look at 4 very, very briefly. So Malachi chapter 3, it's the last book in the Old Testament. Verse 7. It's on page 962 in the Church Bible. God speaking to the people of Israel through the prophet Malachi. And he's calling them to return to him. And he says this halfway through verse 7. He says, "Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? This is God speaking now. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. See, this is a serious charge, isn't it? Robbing God. By not bringing the full tithe, God says they're robbing him. But you see what else he says? By not bringing the full tithe, they're actually missing out on the blessing of God. And amazingly, even though Scripture elsewhere warns against testing God, here God invites us to test him. In this realm of giving, the only place to think I'm right in saying that he says, test me in this, is in this realm of giving. If we bring our tithes and offerings, then God will open up the storehouses, the floodgates of heaven, and pour out so much blessing that there's no room for it all. You may have heard the story of the man who died and went to heaven. Peter's showing him around, and they're walking along a path. And Peter's saying, see on the right-hand side now, you can see the hills and the mountains and how beautiful they are. And a bit further down on the right-hand side, you can see the tree of life in the garden. A bit further on on the right-hand side, you can see God's people worshipping in the throne room of heaven. And further on the right-hand side, and the man thinks, what's this on the left-hand side? And on the left-hand side, it was like going into Amazon. There were rows and rows and shelves, sky high, packed with boxes, loads of boxes everywhere. And in the end, he interrupted Peter and said, but Peter, the right-hand side's great, mate, don't get me wrong. But what's this on the left-hand side? And Peter said, they're all the blessings that God has not been able to give to his people because they don't trust him with what they give to him. Well, this promise of God to open the floodgates and to pour out his blessing on us is reiterated in the New Testament. So just verses again, Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 38. Some of you will know this off by heart, I'm sure. I don't, so I'll read it. It's in, Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. And the paragraph, judging others, on page 1034 and verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Do you see God saying, look, be generous, and I'll be generous back to you. So the principle here, we give and we receive more. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Interesting verse, this. I think it's the only time that the words of Jesus are quoted and they're not actually in the Gospels. So on page 1117, Acts 20, 35. This is Paul to the Ephesians, I think. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The principle here, that we're blessed as we give. And then back to 2 Corinthians and chapter 9, verses 10 to 15. So again, remember talking about this appeal for the church in Jerusalem. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, people will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. See, the principle is, and this is, I guess this sums up everything we're saying today, isn't it? Is that we're blessed. God blesses us so that we can bless others. The more we give, the more God is honoured. And the more people look to God and recognise the grace that he has placed in us. And Paul ends his appeal here, doesn't he, with verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And we've looked at this today. We've celebrated this around the communion table. You see, God's not asking us to give out of the coldness of his heart. It's not just a do this, and this is what I want of you. Actually, he set us an example, hasn't he? You see, it's his nature to give and to give sacrificially. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he... And what did he give? And why? God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. God loved, he gave. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think, was it you, Hazel, who said unmerited and yet unlimited in something you said early on? I thought, oh, that's good. Do you see? God's love for us is unmerited, but it's unlimited. And sacrificially, he gives of his Son to die for us, that we might be forgiven. And Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So you just need to grasp this, don't we, folks, here today, that God is a giving God. And all we have comes from him. He blesses us so that we can bless other people. And he encourages to do that with a spirit of thanksgiving and with joy in our hearts. I don't know who this guy was, a guy called Captain Levy or Captain Lever. He's been in a couple of books that I've read this week in preparation for this. I don't know who he was, and I did Google him and couldn't find one that fitted. There were a few out there, but not this guy, I'm sure. But he was renowned for his generosity. And he was asked once, how could he be so generous? And he says, well, God shovels it in, and I shovels it out. And God's got a bigger shovel. Test me in this, says the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Again, Lord, so relevant, so challenging and inspiring. Thank you, Lord, for your character, for you being a giving God who stopped at nothing to give us our salvation, so rich and yet so free, in and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you settle that in our hearts, Lord? Make that the platform upon which we stand, Lord, when we think about our giving. Help us, Lord, to imitate you in our giving, to give generously and with a thankful heart as we see the need And yes, within our means, and yet, Lord, recognizing that all we have comes from you. May we be a generous people and help us to look forward to your blessing on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.